The old covenant was made and ratified back in the 24th and 25th chapters of Exodus. And this is the 31st chapter. This is long after that. Now, you know, and any lawyer will tell you, that any covenant or contract, a covenant is a contract, an agreement, and anything that appears after it's signed and after the signature is no part of it at all. This is not part of the old covenant, but this is eternal. Now, I want you to notice, beginning with verse 12, "And the Eternal spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you." How long? Just a little while. "Throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify or set you apart." That doth sanctify you. That means set apart for holy use and purpose. It identifies who are God's people. It identifies God. Now let's read on. I'll show you how. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you." The world doesn't want to put any difference between the holy and the profane. This one church is one church that does, brethren. And you'll have to begin to put difference between the holy and the profane. The Sabbath day is holy. Your first tithe, which is God's tithe, is holy to Him. You are stealing if you use it. You are stealing if you use the Sabbath day. It belongs to God. It's not your time. It's God's. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be put to death." Now that was, of course, in the nation Israel. It was a death penalty. "For whoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Eternal. Whosoever doeth any work in that Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." Now, there was a death penalty in Israel if you don't keep the Sabbath. The beast now says there's a death penalty in their law if you don't break the Sabbath. You see how Satan wants to contradict, and yet he tries to counterfeit and let a lot of people think it is the Sabbath. "Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant." A perpetual covenant. This is a covenant. "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel." That is, it identifies them as God's people. It identifies God. Why? "Forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." It doesn't say he created, he made. And you find that he did create a few things. He created the land, animals, and people on that day. But he didn't make the earth at that time. He was remaking its surface, as you find in the 103rd Psalm in verse 30. Oh, there's so many of these little things that so many people in the churches of this world just don't understand in the Bible. But a sign identifies. Now, let me tell you a few things. Why did the Jews think they are Israel? Why is it that our people are Israel but don't know who we are? Because the first thing that Jeroboam did when Israel rejected King Rehoboam was to not only get rid of the priesthood, and the Levites went back and joined in with Judah, but he also changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And he went right along with the pagans over in Assyria that were observing the Chaldean mystery religion. And because they lost a sign that identified them, no one knew who they were, and they finally they lost their own language and they lost their identity. Why do people think the Jews are Israel? Because they have kept the Sabbath through these centuries and years. And the Sabbath has branded them as Israel. But it's a sign they have voluntarily kept. No one forced them to do it. But the mark of the beast, a mark is a brand. It's branded on you like you brand cattle. The cow doesn't ask you to do it. The cow doesn't do it voluntarily. You do it to him. And the mark is one that's marked on you. And mark also identifies, doesn't it? The sign identifies. Both a mark and a sign identify. One is the sign of God. The other is the mark of the beast. They both have something to do with the right hand and the forehead, with work. The Christians who have the sign of God have the name of God. We're Church of God. Name written in our foreheads. We have it in our hand. And you'll find that the commandments were to be bound in their hand and in their foreheads in other places in the law of Moses when speaking of the commandments of God. There is only one commandment that the world absolutely will not obey, and that is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is God's test commandment. That is the one that is the test above all. Now, God's law is love to God and love to neighbor. You know, the carnal mind will often have a certain amount of love to other people. For example, a lot of husbands and wives who are entirely carnal get along because each is getting what he or she wants from the other. They can get along. Of course, too often they don't get along. It all depends on what they get, not what they give. But they don't seem to want anything to do with God. You can't come to love God unless you love less your own children, your father and mother, or those closest to you. Not that you have to hate them as it is in the King James translation of the Bible. But the world doesn't realize it makes any difference whether we love God or not. God's law is love. It's love divided into two divisions. The two great commandments, love toward God, that's the first four of the Ten Commandments. Love toward neighbor, that's the last six. The Sabbath is the one that shows love to God, and there is no reason in the world to keep the Sabbath except that it's holy to God and you are obeying God and keeping your foot off of the Sabbath, as he says, I believe it sees that the 56th chapter of Isaiah, or is it the... It's one of the chapters of Isaiah. Keep your foot off of it from polluting it, muddying it all up. Oh, I could preach you sermon after sermon after sermon about the Sabbath, and we've been taking it for granted because we could keep it, and we just take it for granted. And I haven't been preaching much about the Sabbath in a good many years now, and I used to have to preach on that subject more than anything back 50 years ago. But now we're coming to the place you're going to see how important it is. There is no question whatsoever. I tell you, brethren, it just seemed that we didn't need to talk about this subject very much in our own church because we understood it. Another thing, the Sabbath question was a great question before the public 55 years ago. But today it hasn't been so important. It's going to get important once again. So we haven't been talking much about it in this church. We take it for granted. Well, don't take it for granted. It is very important. And I think we need a few more sermons about the Sabbath. And I think that I'm going to preach a little more about it. and also about the very imminency of these things. We're in the time now of our final exams. In fact, we have been for the last two through four or five years. I've been telling you that. But we are in that time, and there isn't much more time to go. I had some other things that I thought I would read to you about the coming of this empire in Europe, but I just haven't had time, so I'm not going to take time because time is up now. But I want you to realize the seriousness of this and the imminency of it. And the time of trial and testing is coming. And the time when we're going to have to be concerned about if we're going to have to get out of here and leave here, leave this auditorium. I don't know what will happen to it. God will take after that. It's dedicated to Him, and I think He'll take care of it, whatever way He wants it done. We may have to all go someplace. I don't know how we're going to go. God is going to have to show us a lot of things He hasn't revealed yet. We're coming to the time, and we're going to come very shortly now to the time when I tell you the ministers of this church are going to have to tell all you people in the congregation, it's better not to have more children from now on, because there's a curse pronounced on those that have either nursing babies or new babies that are that young at the time of this great tribulation, and it's going to come very soon now. I think it's bound to be 1 or 2 years or three at least. I don't think it's going to be here tomorrow or next week. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not setting a date. I'm just telling you it is very, very imminent. I wish I had time to read you some letters here. And there's one very important man that has a lot to do with this getting of Europe together. Well, he's one of the two most important men. And he's going to come. He wants to have a meeting with me, and I just missed a meeting with him on this last trip. But there is to be plenary meetings of the European Parliament, which is that division of the people of the common market trying to get this together as a political union. And their meetings, it's the same as the San Francisco Conference that drew up the charter for the United Nations. And they expect to have their charter for that all completed by, I believe it was, no, I forget the date again. I had it given to me again yesterday. It's in early March. I think the 7th or 8th of March, something like that. It's supposed to be completed by that time. Now, things are going together faster than you realize, and most of it is not hitting the public press. You aren't going to read it for a while in the public press, but I get it confidentially from those on the inside, and I have fortunately had access to them. And I want to tell you that it is moving. They say it's not moving fast enough for them. They're very disappointed that it isn't moving faster, but they're putting everything back of it that they can. And we got to put everything back of getting ourselves ready that we can. I'm going to have to declare a time of fasting and prayer in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm not going to do that this minute, today. I want to think it over, and I'll send it out in a general letter to the whole membership, and at least to the ministers who will announce it in their respective churches. So it'll be maybe just a week or two. From now on, brethren, until the kingdom of God, it's not going to be all peaches and cream. If you think it's going to be just all beautiful and everything is hotsy-totsy and dandy, forget it. We're in for nothing but trouble, and the whole world is. But we are on God's side, and that means He's on our side, doesn't it? And we need to get a little better on His side. And we're going to have to do some fasting and praying. And I'm going to set aside a time for fasting and prayer in the next few Sabbaths. So that's it for now, brethren. But whatever you do, keep close to God from now on, because I want to tell you that times are different, and the devil knows he has but a short time. Now, maybe we don't know it. We better wake up to the fact that he does only have a short time, and that means we only have a short time to be ready.